So how can you believe that hearing or narrating a past tense leads to some results? And how can that narrating a past tense help us in our chanting? The scriptures give some promises of certain results. Those promises indicate the Lord's heart. But Krishna is so merciful that he is even ready to give results, so much results for so little effort. But ultimately, yetha mantra pratyanti kamsatayu vajamya. As all people surrender unto me, I reward them. So you know, love is not calculating. It is. Love is reciprocal, but it is not calculating. I have done so much for you, so you have to do so much for me. That is business. Just like in business, I have worked for so many hours, you have to pay me this much. We have the books of, we have not worked this many hours, I am not paying you this much. So when the Lord is approaching with a compassionate heart, as He is, when He is giving these promises, we have to reciprocate with a repentant heart, not a calculative head. If we reciprocate with a calculative head, then the Lord will also reciprocate with a calculative. Oh, you have done this karma, this karma, this karma, this karma. You have to deal with all of that. So, as devotees, we don't make demands from the Lord. We understand that when scripture makes some promises, Krishna can make those promises come true. He has an omnipotence. And just by hearing one story, he can purify the false sinful reactions. But will that happen in every case? That depends on our disposition. The mood of a devotee. When a devotee hears extraordinary scriptural promises, is not that those promises, that the devotee demand that these promises should happen to me. Rather, the devotee sees the merciful heart of the Lord behind them. And then the devotee dedicates oneself more and more to invoking the mercy of the Lord. See, Ajamil, just by chanting one name of Narayan, was saved from Yamapashan, Amuchyata. Is freed from Yampash. But both Shukdev Goswami while narrating that pastime and Srila Prabhupada while commenting on that pastime, neither of them say, therefore, all of you can do sinful activities throughout your life and just sacha and Narayan at the time of death. No, their conclusion is what? That if Ajamil chanted just one name at that time, and that too unintentionally, and that gave him so much benefit, then if we chant his names regularly, many times, intentionally, throughout our life, then will the Lord not benefit? Lord bless us. He will surely bless us. So, extraordinary promises should not lead to extraordinary demands from us. Rather, extraordinary promises should lead to increased commitment to the ordinary process that will awaken us, that will arouse us. So extraordinary promises reflect the extraordinary merciful nature of the Lord. And we appeal to that merciful nature by steady commitment to the standard process of life. And how can this inspire us in our chanting? We can meditate on those pastimes in which we find the Lord very merciful, very loving. And then try to connect that the person whose name we are chanting, this is the same person. So, we don't have to think about that while we are chanting. But before we chant or during our rounds, we can just pause for a few minutes and think, this is the person who reciprocated to the call of Draupadi, the person who helped Arjuna so many times in the war of Kurukshetra, the person who empowered Hanuman to do such wonderful things. That very same person I am calling right now. Let me beg for, beseech his mercy. That way, we can, by remembering the Lord's merciful nature as manifested through certain pastimes, we can trigger or evoke some spiritual call within our heart for Him with some spiritual emotions, and thus animate our chanting with that calling and those emotions.